study another portion of what God's Word has to say. It is just wonderful to see this number back here on tonight. Hope, pray, and trust that life is going well and that you are striving to be all that you can be, not just for the Lord and not just for the kingdom, but for yourself, because we benefit when we live according to what thus saith the Lord. Tonight I want us to piggyback on what we talked about this morning, and I want us to look at righteous character. Righteous character. It's interesting that Jesus Christ is our example. And we use 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 21. We see that he is our example, and the context there is in the midst of suffering. But Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 1 that follow me even as I follow Christ. It's interesting that Paul wanted to follow the standard. He wanted to follow the example. And then he tells the brethren at Ephesus in Ephesians 5 and verse number 1, be ye imitators. The word imitator there is mimickers. Be ye imitators of me. And notice the attitude as dear children. One thing that children do, they mimic. And God wants us to mimic his son. I said all of that to say this, is that our behavior is vitally important. And our behavior is dependent upon what's in our hearts. God wants his people to have good behavior. When we think about those who had good behavior, not to say that they didn't have problems, that they didn't do anything wrong from time to time. I was always told it's not what you do, it's what you do after you have done it. And you think about that, God wants his people to always be pointing at the standard, but maybe you missed the mark. Well, the proper thing to do is to ask God to forgive you, make it right with the parties and whom you need to make it right with, and keep on pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The first person we want us to take notice of is Noah. Noah is a very interesting man. We've talked about him on numerous occasions in the last couple of weeks. I just want to look at him again. We'll look at some more. But Noah, the Bible teaches us, was saved by water. He was delivered by the ark. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 3 and also Hebrews chapter 11. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. But one thing that I want us to take notice of is in Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, a very familiar passage of scripture worthy of our understanding and observation. In verse number 8 and 9, the Bible there tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was, notice his character, he was just, he was upright, and notice he walked with God. Those three things we see there real quickly about this great man, Noah. And something that I want us to take into consideration about this great man, Noah, is verse 22 of chapter 6 and verse number 5 of chapter 7. And the reason why I say this is because this particular man, man of God, preacher of righteousness, did everything according to what God said. Now, that's very important. And the reason why we know it's important is because Noah was delivered by the ark. Noah was saved by the water, which means that his behavior was in line or in step or in accordance with the will of God. Now, we can add other things as relates to how did Noah behave himself. But friends, I want us to make one point here as we make transition here in a few minutes. Our behavior has to be just like that of Noah. It has to be a behavior that is just, upright, and that which walks with God. Well, the Bible teaches us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which ought to direct our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But then Jeremiah would say, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, is not in man to walk, to direct his own steps. So you take all these things into consideration, and Noah was a man that didn't direct his own steps. He was a man that didn't walk according to his own understanding. He did what God wanted him to do when he wanted to do it. It governed his behavior. It governed his attitude. Look at Genesis 9, verse number 8 through 15. In Genesis 9, verses 8 through 15, this is post-flood, okay? Which teaches us and tells us that before the flood, he had a certain type of lifestyle, certain type of mentality, behaved a certain type of way. While on the ark, we know that he did the same. Come off of the ark, he builds an altar to the Lord. And now, here it is, post-flood. Verse number 8, just something for us to consider. And God spoke unto Noah and to his sons, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you. Now, let's make this point. God is not going to make a covenant with a people who are not doing what he says. So there's so much to be implied here. I don't have time to really delve into that. But we know that he must have behaved himself in order to get on the ark, because there were so many that didn't get on the ark because of their misbehavior. Which teaches us, friends, that our behavior is vitally important. Look at verse 10. And with every living creature that is with you, the fowl, the cattle, beasts of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, he makes this covenant. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token, the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature, verse 12, that is with you for a perpetual generation. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. It's interesting. Because of the behavior of Noah, because of his obedience, him walking with God, being upright, being a just man, we benefit from it. Here's the benefit. We get to see the bow in the cloud today and know that there is a God in heaven because he made a covenant with Abram. Made a covenant. I got Abram on the ark. Made a covenant with Noah. I'm sorry. For real, I'm sorry. You know, that happens every now and then. But he made a covenant with Noah, which tells us that if Noah is true and the bow is true, that means I can trust in God and I can have the proper behavior, and God will one day deliver me in the midst of all of this chaos and confusion that we see. Number two, turn to the book of Ruth. You turn to the book of Ruth, we find a very interesting woman. It's during the days of the judges. We see that in Ruth 1, verse 1 and following. But I want us to take notice of something about this great woman. She's a Moabitess woman, demonstrating great loyalty and honesty and honor and steadfastness in the midst of troubles. Remember, there was a famine in the land, and we find Naomi and her husband as they go over to the land of Moab. And the next thing you know, their sons find wives, and those wives are Ruth and Orpha. Well, they die, all of them. It's a sad time. It's a horrible time. Well, in the midst of this, Naomi, well, she's bitter. Her behavior wasn't up to par. Well, we can honestly say, okay, she's bitter. She has a lot of things that's going on in her mind. You know, she lost her son. She lost her husband. I mean, she has a right to behave the way she's behaving. No. Now, the reason why we know that is because we have Ruth, who seemingly behaved the proper way. Now, this is just something for us to consider. In chapter 2, we see something about this great woman of God. Look at chapter 2, starting at verse number 8. We see that Ruth is well provided for. She's protected. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them not. And go thou after them. Sorry about that. Have I not charged the women or the young men that they shall not touch thee? Now notice the protection that Boaz is providing for Ruth. But why? Why is he providing this protection for her? Verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said, now notice this about this great woman. It has fully been shown unto me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not hereto. Now notice, she has this reputation about her. He knew this about her. Her behavior was in step with morality, if you will. She had this calamity, just like Naomi had a calamity. But it seems as if that she was the stronghold for the family. It happens. Doesn't mean that Naomi was in sin, but it also tells us that we find something in this Moabitess woman that's powerfully strong. That our behavior in the midst of trouble, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of death, we still have to watch ourselves. We have to think things through. But then notice, we see something that's very interesting. Verse number 14. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip the morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was suffered and left, sufficed and left. And when she had risen up to glean, Boaz commanded the young men, saying, let her glean even among the shears, and reproach her not. Take care of her. Protect her. But why? Is it because of her behavior? Is it because of the way that she carried herself? Young people, it does matter how you carry yourself. For us who are older, it does matter how we carry ourselves. People are willing to do more for us on how we carry ourselves. Just think about this. Righteous character has benefits. Go to chapter 3. Look at verse number 8 and following. Matter of fact, we'll start at verse 6. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all her mother-in-law bade her. You go back and you read the rest of it, you'll find it very interesting. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went and lied down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. Notice her behavior. He saw this in her. It's interesting that he sees this in her, and we get to read about this. Notice verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not. Don't be afraid. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people, listen to this, doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Doesn't matter how we behave. Doesn't matter how our young women behave themselves. Doesn't matter how we teach our young daughters how to behave themselves. Young men, how to behave with the young ladies. It matters. This was a virtuous woman. She kept herself the way that she needed to keep herself. And now, it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. He goes forth through all of that. And it's interesting that she is a virtuous woman, as we see in Proverbs chapter 31. I think it's something for us to consider. Because when we think about this, it ought to give us great encouragement. What were some of the benefits because of her behavior? I want us to take notice of chapter 3. I believe it's verse 20. Chapter 4, verse 13, I'm sorry. I'll get it in my notes right here in a minute. Notice. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception. She bare a son. And the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. Listen to this. And a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, became nurse to it. And the woman, her neighbor, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Abinadab, and Abinadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David, and guess what? Matthew 1, verses 1 through 7, Jesus comes. You just never know the blessing that may come from your family because of your behavior. There's enough in the Bible that teaches of bad behavior. We want to be promoters of good behavior. Turn to 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, we come across a man by the name of David. Don't have time to look into all of that. Just want to make a few points here. David is pretty upset right now. He's mad. Nabal. Y'all remember Nabal and what Nabal did not want to do? He didn't want to provide provisions for David and his men. Remember, we were talking about that the other day. And as he was being upset, Abigail, because of her great character, well, she stopped him. She served him. She did what she needed to do to help David out. David had his issues. He demonstrated frustrations at times. He made serious errors at times when he numbered the people in 2 Samuel 24. Yet he was a man after God's own heart. He was one that showed great kindness to Mephibosheth and to Barzillai. He did these things. But I want us to take notice of 1 Samuel chapter 18. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5, verse 14 and 15, and verse 30, we see something that's very powerful about this great man. Remember, he had his problems, he had his issues, he had his frustrations, sound like us at times. We get frustrated, we get mad, we get upset. People do us a certain type of way and we want to do them in. That's what David wanted to do to Nabal. That's normal, okay, but hold on. There's something different about this man of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 18. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, starting at verse number 1. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. Jonathan loved him as his own soul. You know, there's one thing to have a friend, but to have a friend like that is very rare. Very rare. As a matter of fact, it's very rare to have that even in marriage. I just want to throw that out there. Verse 2, and Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe and was upon him and gave it to David in his arm and his garment, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. Now notice, he did exactly what Saul wanted him to do. He was king. And notice what the Bible says here, friends. And behaved himself wisely. Now, this word is, of course, 3 times in the English, 1 time in the Hebrew. tell you what this word means. It means to look at or to look upon, to have insight, to give great attention to consider, to ponder, to be prudent, to have insight, to have comprehension, to cause to think, teacher, to be prudent, to act wisely, to prosper, to have success. Now, think about those definitions and think about our behavior and how God desires for us to behave and to think about, am I going to behave properly in accordance to the will of God without thinking, without giving attention to detail, without pondering, without being prudent, without being circumspect? The answer, Brian, is no. I will not have the behavior that God desires for me to have if I don't think, if I'm not circumspect, if I don't walk circumspectly, if I don't act prudently, if I don't act wisely. I'm not going to have the behavior that God desires for me to have. Well, here we see that David, on the run from Saul, yet he does what Saul tells him to do, and he behaves himself wisely. Drop down to verse 14 and 15. Saul is just totally upset with David. He's mad at him. David killed his 10,000. Saul killed his thousands. He's jealous. He hates David. Now, can you imagine someone hating you and wanting to do you in? And sometimes the temptation is, well, I got to misbehave and get this guy off my back. But that wasn't David. Look at verse 14 and 15. And David behaved himself, think about the definitions, wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. You know, when we behave wisely, God is with us as Christians. Look at verse 15. Wherefore Saul saw that he behaved himself not just wisely, but very wisely. He was afraid of him. Drop down to verse number 30. Matter of fact, we'll read verse 28 through 30. Notice. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. It's interesting when people who are not in step with God know that those who are trying to live right by God's will, in accordance to his will, in accordance to his word, just striving to be upright, good moral individuals, just trying to please God. You always got those that, you know, they just have an attitude towards you. How do we respond? How do we act? Do we act like them because they act like that with us? Well, Paul said, no, don't do that. Don't return evil for evil. As a matter of fact, do good to your enemy. If he's hungry, give him something to drink. If he's hungry, give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. David behaved himself very wisely. Notice what he says in verse 29. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Doesn't sound like he wanted to sit down and have cookies and ice cream. He hated David. Notice the next verse. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth. And it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. He had a great reputation. Can you imagine being known in San Angelo as one that behaved yourself wisely? You know, that brother over there, you know, he was being mistreated by the world and they were doing some horrible things. As a matter of fact, they was cheating him. And you know, he always kept his cool. Something was said about my father-in-law. He'll be mad if I was to say this, but it fits right here. There was a situation going on in the Lord's church and, well, he stood up. I mean, recently. And you know, one of the brothers said this, my mother-in-law told me this. They was just so encouraged that he kept his cool and never raised his voice in the midst of an altercation. That's something to be pleased with. You know, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes we don't behave ourselves wisely or very wisely. Friends, these are good principles. That righteous behavior results in wise behavior. Let me give you one last one. Go to the book of Esther. It's right after the book of Nehemiah. Go to the book of Esther. And you're probably thinking that I'm going to use Esther. I'm not. I'm going to use Vashti. I'm going to use Vashti. I mean, we don't talk about her that much. You know, if you want to name your daughter some cute name, I think Vashti is cute. You think about, just think about what she stood for. Here the king, they're well drunk, and the nobles are with him, the princes, they're with him, and, you know, he calls for Queen Vashti and wants her to parade herself in front of the guys. She says, no. I'm not going to do that. You know, that's good behavior. It's interesting that sometimes in the world we live in, women are willing to misbehave for far less. Men are willing to misbehave for far less. This woman here teaches us something very important. If you can't be patient with me, let's look at verses 1 and following. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even to Ethiopia over the 107 and 20 provinces. I'll get it right. Tongue tied tonight. That in those days when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast to all his princes, servants, and power of Persia and Media. The nobles and princes of the province being before him when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 180 days, a long time. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue, hanging fastened with cords of fine linen, purple to silver rings, pillar of marbles. The beds were of gold and silver, upon pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law, none did compel. For so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abigtha, Zethar, Carcass, and 7 chamberlains that serve in the presence of Ahasuerus, the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen, Vashti, refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore, the king was very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Now, let's think about this for a second. She's the queen. He's the king. Why is he having her come before him like that? Before all of them? Because she's beautiful. They're full of drink. It's interesting that when people get full of drink, they don't think properly. They don't act right. But she wasn't going to be paraded like that. Young ladies, don't allow yourself to be paraded like that. You're too valuable. We ought to be teaching our daughters how valuable they are. Amen. We ought to be teaching our young men how valuable ladies are, women are. They're not to be used as a piece of meat. They're not to be mistreated. They're made in the image of God. It's something that we ought to be thinking about. This woman behaved herself wisely Verse 13. Then the king said to the wise men, which know the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. Drop down to verse number 17 for time's sake. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported. Then King Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. Here's the only point I want to make with Vashti. Sometimes having the right behavior might get us kicked out. Sometimes we think that having the right behavior, everything's going to work out for our benefit. Not always the case. Matter of fact, Jesus had the right behavior and cost him his life. Well, I want to encourage us to have the right behavior and to allow God's word to be the standard of our behavior, and to allow God's word to govern our thoughts. And friends, we can say that, well, you know, it's easy, or, you know, I mess up every now and then. But in order for me and you to really have the right behavior consistently, it's going to require us staying in the word and believing what God says and actually applying it every single day. Don't go one day without applying the word of God. Why? Because what God is doing, God is developing our character, which is demonstrated in our behavior, which will one day deliver us, because it's righteousness. So we're going to take the righteousness of God, and we're going to think on it. We're going to ponder it, and we're going to put it into practice, and we're going to be the people that God called us to be. We're going to be his people who behave wisely. And the only way to be wise is to stay in the book. If you're not a child of God, I want you to consider wisdom that only comes from God. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will save you. But you got to live a life of wisdom. You got to behave wisely. You got to make good, sound, spiritual decisions. And as Christians, we have to behave wisely. One brother said this, I remember when I first heard it at camp. He said, you have to measure twice, cut once. When I first heard that, I said, man, that's a country term. It has to be, because growing up, I never heard that before. But it makes sense. Measure twice, cut once. Let me say this. When you don't measure twice, it can cost you a lot of money when it comes to wood and material. But when you measure twice, you can know that you get it right. God's word helps us to measure twice and cut once, as we stand, as we sing the Savior's invitation. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.